Good afternoon. Thank you, Alois. Thank you very much for initiating this workshop and for inviting me also, and also for putting me on the first place here. Maybe it's quite good introduction. What I would like to do is just some very simple remarks concerning the Nachlass as a whole and the catalog of von Richten, which you know, of course. So maybe it's a good slow beginning in this afternoon. I would like to start with a direct question to the audience. How many of you have ever held an original manuscript, typescript, or letter, whatsoever, of Wittgenstein in their hands? I know it. So, I hope you felt some kind of aura of this object when you had this, and you think this was in the hands of Wittgenstein before you. So my little introduction I have called From the Aura to the Dispensability of the Originals. You have already heard in Cambridge Library and also in National Library in Vienna, most of the Nachlass items are preserved very carefully, of course. And Wittgenstein's autographs, if they are available on the antiquarian market, have a rather high price. So I think I would like to ask the question, what is the importance of these original manuscripts, typescripts, in a time of digital editions? Just to show you one interesting remark of Wittgenstein in one of his letters to Alice Ambrose from January 1935, he wrote after his signature, "This signature is worth £100. So he was in some way anticipating, I think, his value on the antiquarian market, maybe. But I think the Wittgenstein research is more or less not really concerned with the originals now, as they are from the time on, then there was the Bergen electronic edition, and as well the complete the online edition of the correspondence of the Innsbrucker Brenner Archive. So maybe these original documents in the high security stacks in the libraries, they are more or less some Wittgenstein relics now, became to relics. Or some objects of adoration. So I was thinking about an analogy to the gold packing of our money, maybe, the Golddeckung. So we have a lot of digital items running around, and if we want to know if there are really some objects behind them, it's good to know that they are really kept somewhere, but we don't need to see them anymore. It's enough to know that they are somewhere, it's possible to see them. So more or less, I think they have now more symbolic importance, these original items in the libraries. So my first remark just concerning what we call Wittgenstein Nachlass, I think it's just good to be aware that not all of this Nachlass is a philosophical Nachlass. There are a lot of things I would not call philosophical items at all. So I just want to give you some examples here. There are, of course, occasional non-philosophical writings, like his Matura, for example, his dictionary for the primary schools, including the preface, which is part of the von Wick catalog, TypeScript 205. Wittgenstein had some kind of vocabulary exercise books for Russian, and he had medical recipe books in the time when he was writing them. So that is from original Wittgenstein manuscripts from his time in the gay hospital during the Second World War. There are other kind of documents like official documents like birth and death certificate. This aeronautic patent, well known in the time before the First World War, or his architect plans of the house of his sister Margarete Stoneborough in Vienna, and of course also important one, the last will of Wittgenstein, important document, but one cannot call it a part of his philosophical Nachlass, I think. And there are, of course, collections, personal collections, like his library, like his famous photo album. And there is also something which is called collection of nonsense. Maybe I make a short remark on this part. It's not so well known, maybe. This is a collection of jokes and funny stories, mainly taken from newspapers and journals. Mainly, his brother Paul was sending them to Wittgenstein, and Wittgenstein collected them in a special box. Now, as far as I know, it is in the hand of Professor McGuinness, and the Brenner Archive is preparing a digital edition. Ulrich had told me. So what I want to say is that this it seems that Wittgenstein, it had some importance for Wittgenstein, this collection, because in his last will he's explicitly mentioning it and it dedicating it to Rush Rees. And I want to just finish with a well-known remark, which is in the memoirs of Norman Malcolm. He says, quotation, Wittgenstein once said that a serious and good philosophical work could be written that would consist only of jokes. So maybe this collection of nonsense was some kind of preliminary study of his joke book. So I want to just point out that this this dimension of irony and humor in Wittgenstein's work seems to me quite important, and there's a very good investigation of, maybe you know this, Friedrich Penker wrote a philosophical thesis in 2006, Wittgenstein's Witz zur Lesart der philosophischen Untersuchungen, so Wittgenstein's joke reading the philosophical investigations. Okay, this was only a short remark that not all the Nachlass is philosophical Nachlass. If we speak about the philosophical Nachlass, of course it's an important question, what items does it consist of? The background, of course, is a complete as possible digital edition will try to contain all the Nachlass items. So in the same way as the von Wright Nachlass catalog was the backbone for the Bergen electronic edition, I think a new and maybe completed catalog should be the backbone of a new possible electronic edition as well. And I would like to say that after, you know, that van Wright was publishing his Wittgenstein papers, where he was listing up all the Nachlass items for the first time in 1969. It was an enormous achievement for the Wittgenstein community. It was the first attempt to give a systematic overview over the whole Nachlass material. So I think our view of Wittgenstein's Nachlass was from the beginning determined by the von Wright catalog and its well-known classifications and numbers. So in other words, we see the Wittgenstein Nachlass from the beginning through the glasses of von Wright. And maybe now it's time to get a little bit more independent or distant view of the Nachlass as an organic unity. And I think I am here also agree with Jonathan Smith that we are not in all degrees or in all parts happy with the van Wright catalog now after more than 50 years. So, but nevertheless, I think we have to start with the classification of von Wright. And there are three levels of classifications, actually. First, I would like to call the material type of the document. The other is the formal type of document, and something which is called strata by von Wright in this paper. So the material classification, I think, is quite simple. It's just concerning the physical shape of the materials, of the items, and von Wright distinguishes here between volumes, which, for example, these are only examples in the breaks, for example, the manuscript 105, 6, 7, philosophische Bemerkungen. And there are other types, he calls large notebooks, beginning with the manuscripts 100, 102, 3, and also 45 to 52. There is another type, pocket notebooks, small notebooks, manuscript 125, 6, 7, for example. And there are, of course, there are also loose sheets, like the lecture on ethic, for example, and or manuscript 143. There are cuttings of typescripts and new rearrangements of these cuttings, and there are something like bound copies of identical books, like the blue and the brown books. So you have more than one exemplar. So what I want to say is that Van Wricht indicates that there is some connection also between this physical document type and the strata level of elaboration, I would say the strata. A quotation of Van Wricht: all manuscripts classified as volumes all manuscripts classified as volumes are more finished type, but on the same category belong also some notebooks, pocket notebooks, and writings on loose sheets. Okay, I come to the formal classification, which is the main aspect of Van Wricht. This is his well-known classification distinguishing between the manuscripts, typescripts, dictations, and two more, which he's not collecting by himself, but he's also mentioning here: notes of conversations and lectures, and correspondence. So I think it's very trivial. The difference between manuscripts and typescript is very trivial. It is not at all simple, the difference between typescript and dictations, I think. Because, of course, Wittgenstein was not typing any of his typescripts himself. So most of the typescripts are dictations as well, of course. And Van Wricht gives here an exemplification when he says typescripts are dictated to a typist or otherwise prepared by Wittgenstein himself, whereas the dictations are verbatim records of dictations to colleagues or pupils. So it seems the main difference is, in one case of the typescripts, we don't know who was the typist, it's just an anonymous person. In the other case, we know which person was taking the dictations. So I think that's not a very reliable distinction. What I want to raise is the question: what is an original typescript of Wittgenstein? I think that's not so clear as it might seem. So is it necessary that Wittgenstein was correcting the typescript himself after the production, or making some autograph remarks in it, or is it enough just that it was produced on his behalf? So what does Van Wricht mean with dictated or otherwise prepared by Wittgenstein himself? So just to give you an example, typescript 203, the so-called Viennese typescript of the Logisch-Philosophische Abhandlung, in the publication of Gerd Grasshoff and Tim Lampert of 2004, they have shown that this typescript was produced a little bit later as the other two, the typescript 202 and 204. They were produced in, it's almost sure that they were produced in October 1918. So the typescript 203 was only produced in the beginning of 1919. And the story which is recovered here by Grasshoff and Lampert is that Wittgenstein wanted to send a copy of the Abhandlung to Gottlob Frege. In this time he was already in prison in Italy and had the typescript 202 with him. And so he asked her, his sister Hermine, to make a copy of the typescript 204, which was in the hands of Hermine in that time. And this copy of, it was a new typed copy, and this copy is the typescript 203. And when it was sent to Frege, he saw that one page is missing, and Hermine wrote to Wittgenstein again in her letter from the 10th of January 1919 that Wittgenstein should send this missing page to her, and this is still one page in the typescript 203, which is the has the page number 10A, is a handwritten page in the typescript, and as you maybe can recognize, this is not the writing of Wittgenstein. This is the hand of Ludwig Hensel. So it seems to be that Wittgenstein asked Hensel who was together with him in prison, to copy this page, and this was afterwards sent to Frege. So this is just a story of one of these typescripts. I would say, of course, this typescript of 203 is an original Wittgenstein typescript, but just to give you another example, I think one or two years ago, a typescript of the Abhandlung was offered to the to our library to buy it, and it was not clear what time of origin it was. It was just a correct copy of the Tractatus, and but what was funny was the it was called Tractatus Logico Philosophicus in the first line, and so it was sure that it cannot be a typescript of the time of the origin of the Abhandlung, because as you know the title was only changed during the print of the bilingual edition 1922. So I would not say that this was another original typescript. Also it came it was said it was in the it was owned by a student of Wittgenstein before, and so I only want to say that it's not quite clear what was an original typescript. My second remark to show you that of course there is not one individual object which can be called the blue book, because there are many exemplars. For example, this is one which was dedicated to his sister Margarete with a special dedication, a handwritten dedication. And on the other side you have an example of the brown book which was owned by Theo Redpath, and he has written his name on it. If found, please return at once to Theo Redpath, London, and so on. I want to suggest that these formal categories of Van Wricht maybe some could be added. There are good reasons to add some of other formats. So one I would call marginalia, annotations of Wittgenstein to other published texts of other persons. The Golden Bow, the Wittgenstein's notes on Fraser's Golden Bow is well known, but there are also other, like for example Hensel's articles of Ludwig Hensel with annotations of Wittgenstein, also Lamb's Hydrodynamics or Hardy's Course of Pure Mathematics. These are seems to me a special type of documents. And there is another type which I called materials concerning the publication of the Tractatus. There are a lot of materials directly concerning the history of the publication. For example, the print of the Logisch-Philosophische Abhandlung in Ostwald, which we have on the right side, with the corrections of Wittgenstein, which were used for the production of the bilingual edition by Paul Keegan, 1922. And other documents like lists of questions and page proofs, with annotations of Wittgenstein. A third group maybe would be quite good to distinguish minutes of meetings. for example, moral science group meetings, which are not quite the same as private notes from lectures and conversations. So, just to sum up this part, I think these types of formal types of documents are not at the same level concerning their authenticity. So you have authentic Wittgenstein texts like manuscripts, typescripts, dictations, correspondence. These red ones are my suggestions. And on the other hand, you have not authentic texts like notes from somewhere, private notes of lectures, and minutes of lectures of Wittgenstein. So a short remark to the third classification level from Van Wricht, which he calls strata, which means something like levels of elaboration of readiness of Wittgenstein's texts. Van Wricht mentions only two levels. He calls it first drafts and more finished versions. Of course, there are a lot of steps in between them, but they show a special direction in the Nachlass, or a movement, let's say, and I will come back to this later, to this third classification. So my next remark is, I call it the problem of the units. What are the units of the Nachlass catalog? It seems trivial first, but it is not at all, I think. If you have on the top, you have the entry as Van Wricht is giving it in his catalog, in his Wittgenstein papers, for example, the manuscript 105, volume 1, Philosophische Bemerkungen, manuscript 106, volume 2. But if you have a closer look, it's not so trivial, because the manuscript 105 is not identical with the first volume of the Philosophische Bemerkungen, and also the same with 106. So here, I think, we necessarily have to deal with a difference between the text and the script. As Alois puts it once in his publication 2004, so we have on the one side what I would call a catalog of physical items, and on the other hand we have a catalog, maybe, of intended texts. So if you look at this closer, the manuscript 105 contains on the recto. This has to do with Wittgenstein's usual working, that he used the recto pages and the verso pages in different manners or methods. So if you have the manuscript 105 as a physical unit, there's not included not only the first volume of the Philosophische Bemerkungen, which is only on the recto pages, but on the verso pages you have the third part of the volume 2 of the Philosophische Bemerkungen. So if you look at the physical items on the left side, you have two different texts in the manuscript 105, and in 106 you have part 1 and part 2 of volume 2, and the third part is in the manuscript 105. And Wittgenstein is indicating this, of course, with a special kind of hints when he says Fortsetzung. For example, Fortsetzung of the Verso Seite vorne, he says in the volume 2 and in the beginning of the Verso pages 105, he says Fortsetzung der philosophischen Betrachtungen des zweiten Bandes. So this is very clear that is the order of the text is like this. On the right hand side, you have the first volume of Philosophische Bemerkungen, and then you have three parts of the second volume. So there are also, of course, other possible cases of this relation between catalog of physical items and of intended text. So you have the manuscript 115, which contains two completely different texts. One written 1933, the volume 11 of Philosophische Bemerkungen, and another, the Philosophische Untersuchung und Versuch einer Umarbeitung, from August 1933. 36. Or you have also versions of the same text as like the lecture on ethics. You have three versions which start with 273a, which was corrected and then again written down in 270b, and then there was the Wittgenstein produced the typescript 207. And you have, of, as I mentioned, different exemplars of, for example, Blue Book. And as a last type, I mentioned also this Kringelbuch of Gerhard Rothaupt, which is not a physical item at all, but consisted only of parts of manuscripts indicated by marginal signs of Wittgenstein. So this is maybe the last type of relationship here. So I come to the end. What I want to say here, coming back to the notion of strata of Van Wricht, I think it is an important dimension in Wittgenstein's Nachlass not to look at the Nachlass items as isolated units, but to look at their complex relationship. And as you know, Wittgenstein usually used to use his existing text to produce new texts. By example, taking remarks from pocket notebooks to volumes, dictating typescripts, cutting out parts of them, and so on and so on. And this very complex network, text genetic network, I think could be shown in a what I would call a text genetic map. There are some attempts, as you know, by Michael Neder already, which he published in the preface of the introduction of the Wiener Ausgabe. Here you can see always two dimensions. In one dimension is a chronological order from left to right, and from up to down there is some kind of showing this this dimension of elaboration. So what von Wricht called first drafts to more finished versions. So another attempt was by Herbert Rachowitz, showing the context of the philosophical Untersuchungen. Here is only the first part of it. So in the corner up left you have the brown book and then the translation to in this manuscript 115b, and here in the center you have 142, so the early version of the philosophical investigations. So one improvement of the Rachowitz maps is that he is not only indicating relations, but also trying to give some names, what kind of relation they are. For example, here translation, or here Auszüge, excerpts of this typescript. So what I think should be possible is to create a global text genetic map of all Wittgenstein manuscripts, which of course could not be shown at one screen at the same time, but you have to move around, maybe like in a Google map, you can move to the right, to the left. So in one dimension you have the chronological order, and in this sector, for example, there should be all items which are produced in the year 1929. And you see there are also some kind of isolated islands, like the lecture on ethics. They have only relations, internal relations, not to outside. And here you can see, and the other dimension is the dimension to the more finished types. But this is not, of course, there is never an error possible from the right side to the left side. It would be against the time, but it's possible that from a typescript, arrows back to manuscripts, of course. This is an example that in the typescript 112 are really copies of the three pages of typescript 108. So this is a not a very precise direction, but in general the movement of the elaboration goes from up left to right down, I would say. So I think this would be really an improvement to have such a map of a global text genetic map of all the items. And maybe I can mention this. Peter Kaicher told me yesterday he has already made a kind of draft of this kind of map, but it's not yet published. So I come to the end. What I want to suggest is to have a set of three access points to the Nachlass, which is, as we already know, a list of items, maybe additional with some more categories of formal types, as I mentioned before. On the other hand, we have a text genetic map, which shows the connections between these items. And as a third one, I would think we need also some metadata. Analytic descriptions, I give you just an example here for the manuscript 405, just containing the main informations about this item as the original title by Wittgenstein, for example, place of origin, time, what kind of document, and last but not least also, and it's coming back to my begin, where is the original item kept and at which place you can find this original, and maybe also what was the history of coming to this place, so provenience. And from each of these access points, you should come, of course, to the full text of the item. So, thank you.